Just to recap what we did yesterday, and yesterday we started with Pasuk Zion through Pasuk with Aleph. Just really quickly, Mechin Hadim B'Koyach over here is describing what appears to be a description of rain. The Gvurois HaGeshamim. Hashem is Mechin, he prepares vegetation for the Harim. B'Koychoy with his might, Nezor B'Gvura, he is girded with Gvura. Okay, two different words. Good morning, Ablaza. Koyach and Gvura. What's the difference between Koyach and Gvura? I don't know. Koyach and Gvura, two different terms. What's exactly the difference? Well, Gvura, you know, means restraint. Ezehu Gibor. Ezehu Gibor HaKoyvesh Es Yitzroi. Koyach, I don't know, we have a chazal that tell us what exactly is Koyach. V'ato Yigdal No Koyach Hashem. Yigdal No, the word Koyach is a very popular word because in the number 28, Kaddish, it's all about number 20. There are 28 letters in, I think, from Yehei Shmei Rabbam, Barach, Li'alam, Uliol, Nehemiah. There are 28 words in the main section of Kaddish. Koyach v'yaton yigdal no koyach Hashem. Koyach is chochma. Chochma is koyach ma. Koyach ma. So there's a lot about Koyach, and how does Koyach interconnect with the word Gevura? Gevura is restraint. I do not know. Melech Oizer.
Koyach is the quality of
power.
Chazak. But Gevura is what you do with the Koyach.
Okay, what do you do with the Koyach?
Attack.
Okay. How you handle, the Koyach is the weapon, and Gevura is how you handle the weapon. Is that what you're trying to say? Because he's saying in the davening, Melech Oizer Umoshia Umogain. I'm sorry, I'm making a mistake. That's a whole different thing. Different brach. I'm making a mistake. Okay, fine. Okay, we have here these two go together. These two terms, Koyach Gvur, even though in the second bracha, Ata Gibor Li'olam Hashem, Mechaye Meisem Ata Rav, there's no mention of Koyach. The second bracha of Shmone Esrei, we focus very much on Gevura, but we don't mention Koyach, and usually Koyach and Gevura, they go together. Hanosen Layoev Koyach. Hanosen, it's true. Usually that bracha is a very mysterious bracha. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. We don't even know for sure when that bracha came into our Nusach. But it's not, right? It's not in the Gemara. The Gemara Chazal, we don't find any Mekor for Chazal instituting the bracha of Hanosein LaYoev Koyach. It was mysteriously inserted into the Nusach Atzilah at a later point in history, and it's not in the Gemara. Every one of the Birchas HaShachar is in the Gemara. The only one of the Birchas HaShachar that is absent is the bracha of Hanosein LaYoev Koyach. So how then did it get into the Nusach, into the Siddur? Who put it there? How was it accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael to make the bracha? This bracha, where did it come from? Koyach is a very interesting concept. 28, the Kaddish is all about Koyach again, and it usually goes together with Givura. Yet in the second blessing of the Shemona Esher, when we focus on Givura, we don't mention Koyach. Here we have a Pasuk. Pasuk is always the most important, the most potent source for any topic, and Mechin Harim B'Koychoi Nezor B'Gvura. The two are juxtaposed, and it must be that this pasuk is revealing some of the secrets of the Koyach, the concept of Koyach and its relationship with Gvura. Look at.
It has a kind of a working actually ring to it.
Baruch, right, this whole Mizmah has, so someone mentioned that yesterday as well. This whole Mizmah has that theme of Baruch Inafshi. It's a very long Mizmah. And here, if you look over here, what it says in the Targum, he translates the Asken Mizono Li Ya'alei Turaya B'Choyach. Okay, he just said Hashem, he prepares food for the Ya'alei Turaya. I don't know what that word means, to the Ya'alei. Those that ascend on the mountains. Okay, I think all the creatures that ascend the mountains, everyone over here, it says the same thing. It does not mean over here that Hashem makes the mountains. It means that Hashem, he prepares food, vegetation, b'koyach. And we learned in the Mitzvot David, the reason why you need koyach is because the mountains are hard. that it would seem, even though for us everything is impossible, but that when the earth is soft and fertile, when the earth is soft and fertile, then it's easy, relatively speaking, to produce vegetation. When you have the advantage of a soft earth of nutrients, but when the earth is rock hard, like a mountain, the ability to cause a hard, rocky mountain to produce vegetation, that is a feat. That is a feat that requires koyach. We learned yesterday a new translation for the word mashbiach. It means to humble, to calm down, to silence, to be mashpil. And you look over here in the Targum, he says mamech. Mamech means to humble, to lower, to bring down, to pad, to press down. The regoish, the commotion of the yamaya, to soften. Shachacha.
Many times,
they are interchanged. Shech, shach, shach. So you want to say is that the bays can be interchanged with the chaf, then it's like, it's shach. V'chamas ha-melech shechocho. Okay, very good. Calm down. Hashem calmed it down. Hashem calms it down. He soothes down the roar of the yamim and the sho'in ga'alehem, the roar of the waves, v'hamoin, and similarly Hashem calms down the noise of the nations of the world that rise up to bring harm to this world. Pasuk Tes says, v'yiru yoshrei kitzavois me'oisoi secha. The Mitzudai said that the inhabitants of the world are terrified from your signs. This means thunder and lightning. And Rashi did not comment on this. What exactly are the remember? I know Rashi says that, you know, Rashi did not comment. What did the Targum say? The Targum says, does not want to translate this word. Okay. Motsoei voiker voerev tarnin. So Mitsuda says that when the sun comes out, the moon, when humanity observes the natural cycles of time, the sun, the moon, it gives them stability, it gives them joy, knowing that we live in a world that is predictable. And Rashi said this refers to the brachas of Yoytzer Or, and the brachas of Yoytzer Ha'Moros, and Hama'ariv Aravim. And when we reflect upon shaloi, that's the key words, shalo yishanu es tafkidon, that Hashem made a world where the sun, the moon does not change its orbit, its rotation, its command. It's perfect. Pasuk yud pokadeto haaretz vatisho kekeho. Hashem, you remember the earth and you water it. We learned yesterday that it's a very powerful word. It's the same word that Hashem used in reference to Sarah Imenu, v'Hashem pokad es Sarah, almost as if to say that the earth is barren. Until the earth produces produce, the earth is like a woman yearning to have a child. Rabas ta'asherena, and when Hashem brings salvation, there is an abundance of richness. Peleg elokim olimayim, the peleg is the water canal of Hashem, is filled with water. Talking digonam, Hashem, you prepare the grain. Kichein Techineho, that's your way. That's the derech of Hashem. Hashem is always in a state of preparation. Okay, you're always preparing for the next thing. That's a very good sign of life. When you're always involved in preparing for the next activity, a rabbi is always preparing his next drasha. Okay, someone is always everything that you're doing in life, you're always in a state of preparation of what is coming next. After a sukkah, there's a minig by some chassidim. You take out the Chanukah menorah on the night after Sukkot. After the night of Yom Kippur, you put up the sukkah. And after Chanukah is over, what do you do after Chanukah? You take out Saving Maz, it's true also. You take out the Megillah. You're always in a state of preparation for what is coming next. Hashem does that. Tilamecha Ravei Ravei, as far as you you water, Naches Gidu Decha. So everyone so far that we saw inside learns the word Gidu Decha means the legions, humanity, or creatures, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts them at ease. That when the world, when all of the creatures that live on this world see that the earth is producing produce, the economy is stable, and there is food, and there is parnasa, we are put at ease. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he waters the furrows, which I guess is an expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the economy going. The economy, it's a miracle that the economy survives. We have a very, very sophisticated world. It's a very sophisticated world that we have, that Tilamecha Ravei, Hashem, he waters the furrows, and by thus doing so, Naches Gidudecha, people are calmed down, they're not all worked up, they feel secure. Derivivim Tim Moi Gigiena, and when Hashem brings down rain to this world, he brings it down gently, light showers. He softens the earth, and only because Hashem sends the rain down lightly, Tzimcha Tivarech, does the produce, the growth, is it, do you bless? Okay, let's take a look over here, some ideas. Let's look, go backwards and look at what it says in the Likutei Shas. On the bottom of the page, page 5, 5, 8. In fact, let's go back. I don't have the one, my other, where I made all the marks. Just to go, might be a little choppy. Let's, in fact, just go back to the previous page, okay? We'll jump around very quickly. Just jump around page 557 on the bottom of the page where it says, Mechin Harim Mekoyach Neza Biglura. Okay, back on page 557 in the Likutei Shas. So it says here, My Gvura is Geshamim. Why is rain associated with Gvura? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nesha Yod Megvura. Shenema Oisik Dolos Ve'in Cheker Ve'nifloys Arei Mitzvah Siv Ha'noiz Motor Alpnei Oretz Ve'shlech Ma'am Alpnei Chutzois. My mashma, how do you know that's called Gevura? Omar Rabba Vashilo, Asya Cheker Cheker Mibrios Shalol and Ksifach, Beninian Yudas Kashamim, Oisiglos Ivain Cheker, beyond investigation. Ksif Hassan, by the creation of Loyadatim, Loyashamat, Elokelam, Soysoritz, Loyaf, Loyiga, and Cherkulis from the soul. And then the Gemara quotes our Pasik. What it says, Mechin Horim Be Koi Choi. Nezar Bigvura. So here in the bracket says Haresh Briyasa Shal Ulam Nikris Gvura, Vinilmad Bigzeva Shava Gam Inin Yudas Keshamim. Now, I don't know why the editor needed to say that, because the context of the pasuk itself over here is rain. The whole over here, this whole section is about rain. Hashem, the next psukim they say Birvivim, Tilamech Ravei, Vat Tishoy Kekeha. The whole theme here, the context of this section, is dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing rain. Hashem remembers the earth. Hashem waters it. The Peleg Elokim is Molei Mayim. Hashem Tilamecha Ravei Naches Gidudecha Brevivim Timoy Gigena Tzimcha Tzimcha. Everything here is about water. So from the context of the Psukim, when it says Meichin Harim B'Koychoi, Hashem prepares vegetation, Nezor b'gvura, we see the word, the term of Gevura is embedded in a section that is dealing with rain, with the concept of Geshem, of water. So we see that there is the Gevura, this is a critical pasuk, because this pasuk is one of the components to teach us that Geshem is Gevura. All right, let's go further. Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tovia. Okay, this Chazal, Hashem created the world 10 things. Ba'asara Dvarim Nivra Ha'olam, and one of them over here is called Gevura. Okay, let's go to the next medrash, next page. Page 558. Pakad Taharetz Vateshoy Kekecha, Hashem, you watered the earth and you gave it a drink. Rabbas Ta'as Ta'ashrena. Peleg Elokim Molei Mayim. Amar Bishlokash, Mishum Ha'kapar, Nema Pekida B'Yishav, Nema Pekida B'Gashamim. The word Pekida. Okay, we discussed this yesterday. The word Pekida is a very powerful word. Hashem is the only three people that have all the Hashem has the key, yeah, to Hey Rayon, the three keys. The first staff of Masechta Tainus. Hashem has the key to Hey Rayon, pregnancy, conception. And the word is Hashem Pokad. It says Pekida B'Isha V'Nem Pekida B'Gashamim, Nem Pekida B'Yishav V'Chsev, V'Hashem Pokad es Sarah. Venemar Pekida Begeshamim Dirsiv Pokad Toharetz. You remember the earth? Vatish Shoike Keha, and you brought rain. Rabas Ta'ashrena, you have given it an abundance of wealth. Okay, the earth is rich, rich with nutrients and minerals. Pelagalakim Molimayim. L'may nafkemina, the editor is taking from the Mefarshim, L'may nafkemina, that it says the word Hashem pokad. He's saying something here that's very important. Whenever it says word pokad, it means you want it, you must pray for it. There's no free lunch. If the pasuk uses the word pekida when it comes to heroyon pregnancy, that means you want to be zoicha to a child, you have to daven. Because it is only the Hashem that is pokad. Likewise, you want it to rain. Rain does not happen by itself. Rain only comes through tefillah, through davening. Under Hashem's authority.
In control, right. Other things we have some measure of control of our destiny, but
not when it comes to Heroyon, not when it comes to Parnasa and to Chia Samesim. Some say there's another one, I forgot.
Rain,
Parnasa, and Chia Samesim.
And babies.
That's pretty right. That's rain. Rain is Parnasa. Rain Geshem is Parnasa. Rain is Parnasa. Hey Rayon, Tchia Sameis. There was a fourth. Wasn't there a fourth? The Yeshayim
Rim.
They go together? Okay. That was the other one. And they separated two. Rain, Parnasa, children, and Tchia Sameisim, where it says, Repikida, a person has to be Mispalel. That is the Nafkamina. The Alshnem, Yesh Lavak Yesh Rachamim, my Pelik. What does it mean, Pelik Lakim Oli Mayim? A Tadu Lunarasa Kimin Kuba. Oyel mole mayim yesh burakia. There is a tent that there's a reservoir of water in heaven. Shemimena, from there gishamim yoitz in. Now the truth is, this is the machlokes in the Gemara. There is a machlokes in the Gemara. Where does rain come from? Is there a water cycle, like they teach you in high school? There's a water cycle that all of the water in this world is contained, it was created, and it does not go anywhere. It just is recycled. It evaporates, it goes into the clouds, and then eventually the clouds release it upon the earth. The sun shines, it causes it to rise once again into the clouds, and then it is deposited. The clouds, though, have an incredible koyach, is they can take it to a different location. They can take all of the water from one country and ship it off to another country, or deposit it in on over the seas. So according to one opinion of the Gemara, the Mayim is completely contained in this world. According to the second opinion, rain comes from Shamayim. It's not part of this world. And this Mayim Chazal appears to be following that approach, that there's a reservoir of Mayim in Shamayim. And when Hashem wants, that reservoir is open and it comes down upon this world. That's what it says over here. One more, Pele Pelokim Molimam. So there is a reservoir, and the reservoir is called Kuba Yesh Barakia. A Kuba in the brackets is a tent.
Yes.
A tent, which we're calling here like a reservoir. Shemimena Gishamim Yoitzim. Next. The word yore means really to shoot. Yore kakeshas. To shoot an arrow. It's to shoot. So we have over here, we say in Kriyashim every single day. Yore umalkosh. What is in yore umalkosh? The early rain and the late rain. There are two periods of rain, two rain seasons. Yoyre is the early season, Malkoish is the later season. Why is rain called Yoyre? It shoots. It comes down with force. And it would seem that force also is critical in its ability to nourish. Do scientists really understand this? If you take just some mist and you spray mist upon the earth, does the earth grow to the same degree? Is it understood? Is this concept understood, is that there is a difference? The product, did anyone ever do a scientific study? The product that grows from the ground is different if the water that watered the ground was applied with force versus it just gently came down upon the ground. They don't do a scientific, so you take two pieces of earth right next to each other, and one you take a spray, and you just spray the mist. And the other, you go up to a 20-story building, and you sprinkle down drops of water, and it comes down with force, and hits the ground hard, with a degree of, and then you watch the product grow. Is there a difference between earth that's been watered with a mist versus earth that's been watered with force?
Yes.
Is there?
Yes.
How do you know?
Ask a landscape.
I don't know if they know this. I don't know if anyone knows this.
Watering a lawn from your hose makes a big difference.
It does? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard such a thing.
It absorbs into the ground better and it's coming down.
With force?
The gallon of water that comes down with force, maybe an ounce or two gets absorbed into the ground.
But if you take a gallon of water and slowly put it over the ground, it'll... Okay, so why then is it called Yoyre? Yoyre is mashma, it shoots with force. Sometimes you want it to come down with force. I don't know. I really don't know. Is that the deal?
The condition is, we discovered it. Small amounts for a prolonged time is better than a big amount in a short time.
Okay.
That's what you said. Like, take a gallon of water, put it right away on a flower, or take a gallon of water and
maybe
24 hours.
Before there is growth, though. Maybe one is
so many things, as I point out to us, if you give it slowly, you give your love, you live
gently.
Give your tzedakah. So
every day give food, okay. Now the truth is, the truth over here is Yoyre, maybe I'm what I'm saying here, because over here the Chazal are not saying this. Okay, Chazal over here are saying Yoyre means Miloshen Rivu Itzama, which means to nurture, to satiate. Doesn't mean, I thought the word Yoyre means it comes down like an arrow. Yoyre Umal Yoyre, it comes down like Yoyre Chetz.
It is
strong.
Shemirave
esaretsu mashke atoim. Shnemar tilamech. This the pasuk of tilamech arave. Naches kidudecha. Brevidim timagegna tzimchot tevarech. Harei shnemar ravel gabi legushamim. All right, fine. Next. Omar Rabbi. Next Chazal. Omar Rabbi Yochanan v'gadol yom agushamim. Shafil giyosais. Even the giyosais kidud chayolam poiskins boy. This is World War II. Now it was because of rain, but World War II. Why did Hitler yamach shemav zechol lose the war? Because of the Russian winter. The Russian winter. So here, even over here, it's not talking about the Russian winter, but it's talking about rain. That rain is more powerful than the strongest army in the world. The strongest army in the world, when it's pouring rain and the roads are muddy, and the elements of nature are they more powerful? They can stop. That's what Chazal say. Even the strongest army,
even
God.
They said the Ukrainians were waiting.
Yeah.
Because the roads were muddy. They went with the solidified.
The wedding is us, mamash yoni diyom. Now what we're learning over here, gadol yom hagishamim shafil giyosois, even the armies gidudei chayolim poiskois by melasas muhammad shnemar. So here tilamech ravei, this is a very interesting drush. The furrows Hashem waters naches gidudecha. The armies stop. Naches means they have to stop in their tracks. They cannot proceed further because they are bogged down because of the heavy rains. When we learn the word Gigdudecha, Shudushal Mekra, it doesn't mean an army, it means all of the people that, all those Hamishalchim Baretz, all of the living creatures, humans, animals, everything that lives on this world, they have Naches, like Nachas. Ah, now that they see that Hashem has sent down rain and the earth is going to produce food, ah, now we have Nachas Ruach, Yishuv Hadas, we have serenity. That is the Pshutoy Shel Mikra. However, the Chazal Darshning, the word Gidudecha, to be taken literally, it means an army, a battalion, a battlefield with an army. They are stopped in their tracks when there is rain. Next. Amar b'chana bag 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 dosa motor mashke es olam marve es olam mezabel es ma'adin es gives it source it mamshich es gidulam amar rava barab yishmoel hitem rabbi yimbar v'shlami ma'kuah tilamecha ravei harei shemashke marave nachais gidulach b'rivim to the megag nachadish mezabel ma'anin. The word over here is linked as a translation that the word timoy gigena means, it doesn't just mean to soften. It means it dissolves it, it acts as a catalyst to soften it and to fertilize it. Simcha tivarech mamshich esaperos. In other words, he's taking this particular here, saying there's an entire cycle. There's a whole cycle.
It's amazing how he uses the humans in the Bible to say, before he said, that's poetry. The ganam, the dudeha,
the
mogigena.
The gimels. There are a lot of gimels here. The Rimmels. Rimmel. Rabbi Lenschitz. Chaim Berlin taught us the Rimmels. It's not really Gimel. There's a Rimmel and a Gimel. A Gimel has a dot and a Rimmel does not have a dot. Dal is a Va. Hashem, Hashem Echad. A dot is a Chod. Okay, we don't say the words the way we're supposed to say the words. But anyway, you're over here, there's no question. You go to the people who are experts in the science of the earth. This pasuk over here is certainly revealing a lot of secrets of the process of how the earth produces fruit. Tilemeh ravei. Ravei is one step. Naches gidudecha is a second step. Birvivim timo gigena is a third. And tzimcha tivarech is a fourth. Is a process. Is this chazal is more of like a scientific approach. Ayin panim l'toyra. You look at the pasuk homiletically, you look at it pshat, you look at it scientifically. There are many different ways to look at every single pasuk, and here it appears from this Maimon Chazal, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Rashbi. No, that's the next Chazal. This Maimon, Omar Rav Chana Bag Dasa. It seems like Rav Chana Bag Dasa was some type of scientist. What's it called?
Horticulture. Horticulturist.
Landscape. Okay, so this was his expertise. I'll read it again one more time. Matar, rain, mashke. Number one, it's mashke. It's mirave. Number three, it's mizabel. And number four, it is ume'adein. That's four. And number five is umamshech. He gives you over here five parts to the process of the earth producing a quality product. And all of that is merumaz in this very pasuk. How do you know this? Amar Rava bar Rabbi Yishmael v'itema Rav Yim bar Shalemya. Mikra, what's the proof to this five-part process? This pasuk, Tilameha Rave. The first part is the furrows are watered. Hare, Shemashke umrave. Part two, Naches gidudecha b'vivim timoy gegna. Hare, this part of the pasuk is discussing the second two parts, Shem Izabel Umeadein. Okay, what did we skip? We said it's Mirave, the first part is Mirave, second part is Mizabel Umeadein, that's one, two, and three. And Simcha Tivarech is Mamshech Esaperes. Okay, so these are the different parts. This is a scientific approach. Okay, and the last chazal over here is, I think, a more popular chazal, and this chazal is a real musa. It's a real jab. It's a real, everyone definitely appreciates this, that you can have everything, but you have nothing. Is that even though it's meant to be to have a tremendous chef of bracha, person does not behave, all of the bracha will go and be wasted on narishkeit. On the other hand,
it's interesting that he doesn't mention the word geshem. All the words here, except geshem.
So what exactly is the chilek? We say mashe faruach amarin ageshem. The same tal umotar livracha. What's the difference? What taka is the difference? It's a big topic. When we begin Shemoneh Esrei and we're masking the second bracha, ata gibar li'olam Hashem mechaye meisim ata rav loshia. Don't get mixed up, Rabbi Yisai. Don't say now. Don't buy mincha. Say mashe faruach. Don't come and complain tomorrow. I daven mincha for the yom, and I was embarrassed. I said, Mashiv, Haruch, Amorin, I geshem. You don't say that. We're now after Pesach. No geshem now.
You didn't want to get confused.
That's
why I didn't mention it.
They want to get us confused. But what is the chilek between Geshem and Motor? Mashiv haruach morit ha-Geshem, the same tal u Motor livracha. Say the same tal, the Geshem livracha. I don't remember. I mean, I think it was more of the concept, the conceptual. Mashiv haruach ha-Geshem is more of a... There are very good answers. Unfortunately, I don't remember the answers. Why there are two different terms, and it is with utmost precision while we say the word Geshem by the Gevuras Geshamim, when we give Shavach to Hoidah, but when it comes to asking Hashem for rain, then it's Motar. It's during a very specific time.
Is matara,
purpose. Purpose,
means, Don't hit Geshem any place.
Right.
And this, but
when it's dished out, it's the portion. It's the right time and the right place. Geshem is the reservoir. There is Geshem in Hashem's reservoir. Motar is the portion, is the serving. And the serving is provided at a very precise moment when it is critical, when it is necessary. So the Geshem is the Mayim in the reservoir, and the Motar is what it's called when it's given Matorah, as Rav Kalman said, its target. At the precise moment and time. Let's see, this Chazal is a very, from all the Mamari Chazal, this one I think is the most practical. We have this concept. Am Tani, Rabbi Shimbar Yochai. This is something I became more appreciative of since Lag BaOmer. You know, it always bothered me. Why Rashbi? Last week we had Lag BaOmer. Rashbi, it's like, you know, it's like almost like a new religion. Like people, you know, we never had. What is this about Rashbi? Bar Yochai, you can sing this song a million times. Why? So the truth is, this made a very strong impression upon me. First of all, I'll tell you two things about Rashbi. This is, number one, it says it's Beferish, Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya writes that people think, I can't believe he says it, but this is what he says. I read it, I didn't see it inside the safe, but I read a quotation word for word. People think that Rashbi is all about Sisrei Torah. Everything about Rashbi is about, you know, we celebrate Lag BaOmer, it's all about all the spooky stuff, the Zohar. What did Rashbi learn for 13 years in the cave? Rashbi fled from the government, from the Romans, and he went to the cave and he spent 13 years, 12 plus 1, with Rabbi Shimon, with Rabbi Elazar, his son. What did they learn? So if you would ask me, they learned all the Zohars. They were learning all the Sisrei Torah. He says, no, that's a mistake. They learned Torah Sanigle. They learned all the revealed portions of the Torah. They learned Bava Kama, Bava Mitzia, Bava Basra, the Sechta Makos. Okay, I don't know how they didn't have the Gemara. The Gemara was not yet written the way we have it today. But they did not. He says, Beferish, the Mesoira is, they learned in the cave only Torah Hanigle. Torah, most of Rashbi's learning in his life was Torah Hanigle. It was just like icing on the cake that he was Megale Torah Hanistar. Now you get the impression that Rashbi is all about Kabbalah and there's no Nigle. No. Most, the Baal HaTanya says the vast chunk of Rabbi Shimbar Yochai is Torah Hanigle. Happens to be that when you, that is a bonus, because he was Omal in Torah Hanigle his entire life, Hashem gave him a matana and allowed him to be the enabler to be Megale, the Torah Hanistar. And the proof to that is, you know what the proof to that is, and this I didn't appreciate, is there are over 2,000 Mamori Chazal, Nigle, scattered throughout Shas and the Midrashim from Rashbi. And from all of the Tandem and every single thing, every single topic, let's talk about Shabbos, to the Tzillin, to Kriya Shema, everything. You know who says it? It was Rashbi. Rashbi, the most famous Mamori Chazal that allow us to have a grasp on almost every single topic in Judaism, you'd be shocked. It's always the same person. It's Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. Not Kabbalah. Torah Hanigle. every single topic you want to understand what is Shabbos about, what is Yom Tov about, what is Kashrus about, what is, you name it, he's always there. He's front and center. And it's not so far-fetched to appreciate that he deserves a day to himself. Because if not for Rashbi, we would have a very, very difficult time grasping the essence of every single mitzvah in the Torah. And here is a really great example. Over here, he reveals a principle that is nigla. This is not a Kabbalistic principle. This is a very basic principle. And this principle is mamish, elementary appreciation of life. And what does he say over here? Everyone knows this. Tani Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. Hare. Shelo hayu Yisrael kishayrin b'roish Hashanah. Let's say it's not such a good Rosh Hashanah. Everyone in Rosh Hashanah is out to lunch. They're busy with Narishkeit. And they're not concentrating on the davening. And they don't daven so well. And in Shemayim they're upset. And they decide, you know what, this year there's going to be a very small amount of rain. Just a very small amount, a very small blessing of Parnassah this year. V'nigzeru lohen gishamim mu'otin. And then Rosh Hashanah passes, Yom Kippur passes, and now it's the middle of the year, and Klal Yisrael, they find themselves in a very bad matziv, difficult matziv, and they do teshuvah. So, can Hashem now change the gezerah? And decide, okay, we're going to now change, we're going to bring an abundance of rain? No, it's too little too late. However, Hashem did promise a small amount of rain. Because you did teshuvah, Hashem will deliver that dosage of Geshem exactly at the optimal moment and time. And you'll get a bang for your buck more than if you would have had a shefa of rain without focus, all the places. Uvesoif also teshuvah, lohoisef aleihem eifshar. There are consequences. We live in a world today where we think there are no consequences. We really are brainwashed that there's no accountability, there are no consequences for anything. It's amazing. Look at the news yesterday. If you play the current events, okay, there was a scandal that really is treasonous. A scandal. And there's an official report by a prosecutor. And do you think for one moment even one person is going to be held accountable and there will be even a mashahu of punishment or accountability? Zero, 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 zero. If it would have been someone that's not on their team, they would have been imprisoned for life, tortured. Because so we're brainwashed, you see. We live in a country where there's no accountability. That's a very big problem. It's a very big problem because there is accountability in Shemayim. When it comes to Klal Yisrael's accountability, and here it was Rosh Hashanah, and Klal Yisrael was not mispalel, and Hashem was going to say there's not going to be rain, and now they have done teshuva in the middle of the year, and here it says, I'm sorry, lehoisif aleihen efshar. It's too little too late.
Well, you would, the seasons are set.
Well, but and whatever it
is.
But Hashem, maybe even not. Maybe it's not too late if it would rain a lot at this moment in time. But Hashem says, no, I was goyzer, you're not going to have rain. You're only going to have a limited quantity of rain. E-F-shar, shekevor nigzar gezerah. Oh, but you did teshuvah. So the best that teshuvah can accomplish is more HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayiselochen moividon kidei litzorei chaoretz. Hashem delivers it with laser-guided precision to give it to you at the best moment possible. Umashiv imohen, and Hashem brings upon them tlalim v'ruchos kedei shetehaneh haaretz mehen. Hashem, there's tal and wind. Hashem has other enhancements that can come along with a limited amount of rain in order to bring out to maximize the benefit. My timer, what's the makar for this? It's as far as Hashem waters gently. It will soften the earth and simcha tivrech. So he's reading over here a fascinating, awesome parish into this pasuk. Over here, let's see. Hashem waters Rave according Hashem waters the foot. Now how is he saying to the is he eating any drushin to this? Till let's see the puzzle one more time. Modikide Litzurch. Let me just run the puzzle my timer. Tilomero Rave Naches. So he takes his whole expression, and the word naches means teshuvah. According to Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai, the backdrop to this pasuk is Klal Yisrael is not doing Ritzono Shel Makom. And there was a gzera of a small amount of rain, but now naches. They've come around, and they have given Hashem nachas ruach. Oh, but what's going to be? There's not enough now that I don't know how you take the words Tilim Harave into this equation. But now it says Hashem says, don't worry. Gidudecha birvivim timo gigena. So gidudecha means, I guess, the people. Let's assume it means the people. Or you want to say the gidudecha means, let's just say it means klal yishol. Birvivim, even with a small amount of rain. Birvivim, he interprets to mean a small quantity of rain. Hashem softens the earth. Hashem waters the earth with precision to bring forth simcha tivarech, that your produce will be blessed. Unusually, with a small amount, you'll get by with a small amount. Okay, in the Beis Hamikdash, how much did the Kohanim get from the Lechem Aponim? A pull, a bean. When they distributed the Lechem Haponim on Shabbos, everyone wanted a little piece of the Lechem Haponim, and how much did you get? You get a teeny, teeny little mashu.
Right.
And Chazal say that teeny amount satisfied, gave the Kohanim enormous satisfaction. When Hashem wants from a small amount, you can go a very, very far way. And if Hashem does not want, you can have millions and millions of dollars, and it's worthless. It's not going to accomplish anything. The money is wasted on narishkeit, and there's no benefit whatsoever. And who is the one that reveals this principle with such eloquence and reads it into the pasuk? None other than Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. And you look over and over again. What? The master of Klal Yisrael. This is only this least new to me. Is really interesting. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he is all over the place. He really is all over the place in so many dimensions of hashkafa, halacha, and it's really not for nothing that he has become appreciated in our generation like never before. When was there in history in Klal Yisrael such a time when like, mom, I don't know the numbers, but tens if not hundreds of thousands of people have really, really focused on his contribution to Judaism. This Maimer Chazal alone is such a basic thing. You can't outsmart Hashem. You can have everything, but you have nothing. You can have nothing, and you can have everything. Like that story I told you about Rav Pesach Kron, about the pilot. There was a family in Lakewood, and it was Erev Pesach, and the wife says to the husband, "You know, you're in my way. I'm trying to make Pesach, and you're in my way. You're in my way, and all the kids here are in my way. Take all the kids and do something with them. Get them out of the house. Get them out of the house so I can make Pesach." So the husband, he takes all the kids. He takes them to the airport, to I don't know where is it, Kennedy, Kennedy. Kennedy. And he goes on the air train. Air training goes in circles the whole day, and the kids are having the time of their life. And walks onto the air train, a pilot, a five-star, you know, one of these pilots has been a pilot from time immemorial, and he sits down and he looks at these little kids from Lakewood, these yeshivish kids with the father, and he looks at them, and he says to them, "Where are you guys going?" So the father was embarrassed. And the father says, "We're going nowhere." We're going in circles. My wife, we have a holiday and the house is a mess, and my wife gave me orders to take the kids somewhere to get them out of the house so she can prepare for the holiday. So the pilot looks and he says, you know, I'm really jealous of you. Because, you know, there isn't a place in this world that I have not gone. I've flown everywhere. I'm a celebrity pilot. Look at my uniform, my medals, this. I flew over every airport in the world. And, you know, I just got a text from my daughter. My daughter said to me in the text, Dad, I never want to see you again. You're never there for us. You never came to my birthday party, to my graduation, to this. You never, ever showed up. So the pilot says, I've gone everywhere. But the truth is, I've gone nowhere. You've gone nowhere. But you've been everywhere. You have it all. You have a family, you have children, you're there for your children. It's a powerful, very powerful, the way Rabbi Krohn says, you know, he knows how to say over a story, you know, he knows how to say it. He has the vocabulary, he has the whole emotion. It's the same thing. That Yesoid is the Yesoid of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Is you can have Bir Vivim, Gidudecha, Bir Vivim. You can have showers, just small amount of rain, but if Hashem wants Timo Gigena, Hashem can take those showers and soften the earth, fertilize the earth, and deliver it with laser precision, and you'll be zoicha to tzimcha tivarech. And if you're not zoicha, you can have everything. You can have a mansion and millions of dollars and everything, and what do you have at the end of the day? You have absolutely nothing. And we all know it's so true. Everything is mazel. Everything is, you make a simcha. You know, you need mazel. You could spend an enormous amount of money. If there's no mazel, the whole simcha, the weather is no good, and this is no good, and that's no good, and you know, nothing, the whole thing is just doesn't work out. And some people, they have almost nothing. And they walk away, they feel like millionaires. They come over, they walk away from the simcha, like everything just fit into place. And it was a good feeling, and it was a good simcha. Everything is wonderful. Rabbon Shimon Bar Yochai. All right, that concludes this chazal. Now, there were more things I want to mention over here. There's something over here very interesting, I think, in the Malbim. If I'm not mistaken, it was in the Malbim. He expressed an idea in a very nice way, in a way that I found very interesting. Let's take a look over here. It's over here in Pasuk. Go back a little bit to Pasuk. I'm going to do the whole thing. Let's take a look on this, on the second page. Okay, let's look over here on page 559. Pokadita. Okay, it goes on to the next page. Let's go, in fact, let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph, it's the very, very bottom. On page 559, on the bottom of the page, Tilomech Ravei, Shehachinoyso Oysel Ravois Es Tilomecha B'Geshem, you have prepared the heavens to water the earth with rain, Nacheis Gidudecha, Sheyereda Geshem Min HaTilomim. So he's calling the Tulamim. What is he calling the Lord Tulamim? Let's look at the Be'or Hamilos. Okay, I tied the word until now, the word Tilomecha to mean the furrows of the earth. And the Gidudecha we've been translating until now, Hamahalchim al Aretz. The Malbim says the word Hagovoah Nikra Telem. Ve'ho'amokim she'bein telem le'telem nikro'im gidudim milosh lo siskoididu asfas. I was really right to a degree. When I started, I said that both of these words really mean the same thing. Both of these words, right? It's a mound. When you make a furrow in the earth, when you make, you take the axe and you hitch the axe to a machresha, and you plow, you make a groove. Now, where does the earth go? If you make a groove in the earth, you got to put the earth somewhere. So the earth is on the side, it's piled high. So it's the two words that are describing the same product. When you make a furrow in the earth, part of the earth becomes a mound on the right and the left. And the part where the plow pulled, there is a cavity in the earth. So the cavity is called the gidudim, the gidudeha, and the mound that is produced because the earth has to go somewhere on the two sides is called the tilomeha. Now remember, that's not the way Rashi and the Mitzudois and most of the Mepharshim learned Shan the Pasuk. They attach the word tilomeha to refer to the entire furrow in its entirety, and the word gidudeha they translate in reference to legions, like a host, an army, a battalion, referring to hamahalchim al pnei haaretz, to the human beings and to animals that live and exist upon this earth. They are called the gidudeha. That's not the way the Malbim learns. The Malbim learns that both describing the same exact thing. So that means so the means the part. That's the cut. The cut is the incision. It's the incision. It's the cavity. So hagavoa nikra telem v'ho amokim shabein telem leselem nikra im gidudim loshen lo siskoi didu siritois v'acharishois bo'adama v'nache naches minyan yirida kimo kichitzecha nichasubi. Now with that in mind, let's look at what it says in the Be'er HaN'iyin. The Be'ur HaN'iyin on the very, very bottom, Yir Aleph. She'achinoisa you are prepared, Oysa L'Ravoyses T'lomecha B'geshem Naches Gidudecha She'yeret HaGeshem Min HaT'lomim. The rain comes down from the T'lomim and it goes into the cavity. It goes down and hits the cavity, it goes in there. And I give the next page. V'hacharitzim Shebein HaT'lomim. It goes down into El HaGidudim V'hacharitzim Shebein HaT'lomim. U'mi'isham from there Yeravu Es HaT'lomim V'yacharkach when the grain begins to sprout, birvivim timo gigena, birvivim dakim achet simcha tivarech. It begins to sprout. So birvivim, he's not touching showers. It seems that when the grain begins to sprout, birvivim dakim. It seems like birvivim dakim means that this means growth. It's saplings, right? It is a whole different vocabulary. It does not mean showers. It would appear that according to the mitzvah, if I'm not mistaken, birvivim over here means the saplings. It means is the sprouts, the small little growths are called the birvivim, and then it suddenly blossoms into a tzimcha, into a substantial growth, grain, something that is substantial. So he's giving us a very beautiful appreciation of the vocabulary, at least according to him. We're dealing with the furrow. The furrow has two parts. It has the tilomeha, and it has the gidudeha. The part that's higher up is called the tilomeha. The ditch is the gidudeha. And when it rave, the water rains, and the water typically hits the mound, and from there it slides down the mound into the charitz, and then the seeds begin to germinate, and they begin to develop. Birvivim timogigena. It begins to sprout. It seems like the word timogigena. Does he touch the word timogigena over here? No, he does not. He does not touch over here in the Malbim. How that word? But on the other side, it seems it begins to sprout, and then it blossoms in its entirety. Okay, now there is something that I'm looking for over here that I don't remember where I saw this, yeah?
Rabin is a lot.
An abundance. Okay, now let's maybe finish up so tomorrow we can go to the next mizma. Let's do it very quickly. Itarta, we'll just try to finish up. Itarta shenas toiva secha. You have enveloped. Shanas simply means a year, a season. Bringing up Arina Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, we have three more pasukim to the end. Just at least let's start just a little bit. Itarto Shanas Toivosecha Umagolecha Yirafun Doshen. Okay, let's just do that pasuk one at a time. It's hard pasukim. Pasuk. What is the word over here? Magol. Magol here can mean different things. According to the Mitzvah stuff, it means it's another word for the year. It's a circuit. A magol means a cycle, the life cycle. So there, what does it mean? A shana. Shana means to repeat, to repeat. We call, a year is called a shana. That's not the real meaning of the word shana. Shana is either like sheni. Sheni means to do the second time, or I'm forgetting the exact words. The word that we use to describe a year. What is a year? A year means a new year. It's a repetition of the cycle. It's a new cycle. That fits very well with the word magol. Magol also means a cycle. So itarta and our crown, a crown is round. A crown goes, it's something circular. We have over here a lot of words which represent the concept of a circle. Itarta, you have crowned. Shenas, the year toiva secha, of your goodness. Umagolecha, your magol, your circuit, Yirafun Doshen. The word Yirafun means the flow of fat. Okay? The flowing of the dosha means the fat of the earth. Let's see the mitzudos of it. Itarta ta'ateres ashana sheshvata bo toivascha. You have crowned the year which you have bestowed with your goodness. Kitiya mi'uteres, it is crowned bitvul mi'uteres. Umagolecha. Now the Mitzudas here is touching the word in the Mitzudas David differently than what it says in the Mitzudas here. In the Mitzudas here he says Moshen Ma'agol, V'derech, which means a circle. And then he says V'heim Ho'anonim Shem L'tzad HaShemayim V'nemar V'chug Shemayim Yisalach, the circuit of the heaven travels L'zeh Yikru Ho'anonim Ma'agolav. Okay, this is a very complicated idea. He's suggesting that really the word ma'agol literally means a circuit. But we're going to take that concept and we're going to borrow it. It's a teva sh'ula, a borrowed term, and we're going to apply it to a cloud. We are going to call a cloud with the word ma'agol because the clouds are in the heavens and the heavens are circles. The heavens encircle the earth. Something along those lines. One more time, look at the Mitzudot, see it one more time. Umagolech, miloshen ma'agol voderech. Ma'agol means a path. A ma'agol voderech. I told you means a circle. All right, it's wrong. But here you're saying it's a path. So there it means a path. Okay, so let's take it back. As I told you, means a circle. It's definitely used like that sometimes, but that's not how he's using it over here. I was incorrect. It means the path. In heaven, the clouds are on a mission. They are on a path. Magal literally means a path. We're going to take the word magal, which means a path, and we're going to borrow it, and we're going to use it as a term to describe clouds, because clouds from our vantage point, our perspective, appear to be on a path of traveling. Miloshen magol v'derech.
Airplanes, they travel not random. They have a
path. They're going somewhere. V'heim hoanonim sheheim litzad hashamayim v'nemar v'chug shamayim yisalach. What is a chug? Chug means a circle, but it also means a path. The path of heavens it travels. Ulezeh yikaru hu'anonim ma'agolav. We borrow the word and we call the clouds with the term a path. And now take that, go back to the pasuk, and what does it mean? Mitzudos David. Itarta ta'ateres hashanot sheshpata b'toivos okithia muteres b'tvua uperos umagolecha ho'anonim. The clouds, yizlu, they flow with gishmei biracha. Okay, let's next pasuk. Yirafu nois midbar. The word yirafu is it flows. Okay, the word appears a second time in the second pasuk. The second pasuk is given again. The same word is appearing. Yirafu, it is flowing nois midbar. The nois means the dwelling, like a noveh. The nois midbar, the dwelling of the desert, it flows. The gil give a ois tach gor na. Now that means to rejoice. Let's see the mitzudos David. Now, when it says midbar, the mitzvah stuff is disturbed. What midbar? We're dealing over here with Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. So it's just a borrowed expression, which means the places in our territory which are dry, parched, arid, that have not had seen rain in recent times, they now come to life. Midbar here does not mean the midbar that Klal Yisrael travel in the desert. Midbar means your backyard. Your backyard where you plant your orchard is dry like a midbar. What has been dry, according to we learned the Radak, they're dealing over here with the famine, there were 3 years of famine, and the fields were dry. The lands that have been dry, because they have not received water, now they are going to flow with water. The midbar, Hamakomos Hayveshos Kam Midbar, will now Yizlu Gam Hema Deshen. They will flow with fat. They will produce an abundance of grain because now the rain has begun to come. The gil hagvos, the hills, tienachagurois begil. They will be girded as if some type of a metaphor with joy. Ritzon loymar roiv tivua yigdal b'chem. An abundance of grain will grow on this territory. Pasuk lamid yudalit lavshu chorim hatzoin v'amokim yatfu bar. Yisroy a'u afyo shiru. Mitzvah love shu karamim atzoyin hakavasim, the sheep. Shabatzoyin. So we put two words together. The karim hatzoyin. Tzoyin is a general term which can refer to sheep and goats. Okay, you have this in last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, also Rashi. What is tzoyin? Tzoyin includes, in the Torah, includes two varieties, two different types of animals that have nothing in common. Includes sheep and goats, kivosim and izim. What do kivosim and izim have in common? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Two completely different animals, but they both are under the umbrella of tzon, which means small animals, a behema daka. Basically, tzon is another way of saying a small animal. A behema gasa, a large animal, is called an ox, a shor. There's a behema gasa and a behema daka. If you really don't want to know the nafkamina, how much does it cost? Everybody, how much does a para cost? A cow? A full cow? A steer?
10 years since I saw the prices, but they were a couple $100.
A steer? A whole cow? That's it?
Yeah.
That's it? Only a couple $100?
Break it down. If it was more than that, you know what you'd be paying for me?
Okay.
Labor is everything.
Then a sheep. How much does a sheep cost? Much, much less. Much less. An ox is a big animal, a behema gasa. A sheep or a goat is a behema daka. It's much, much less. Okay, it's much, much less. How much? So therefore, a tzoin is another way of saying a behema daka. And in the Torah, there are two animals in that category called the kivosim and the izim. Now, with that, we can appreciate what it says here in this pasuk. It says, lavshu chorim hatzoin. From the category of tzoin, let's only focus on the kivosim, the sheep. Chorim means sheep, in contrast to goats. The sheep of the tzoin. So just say sheep. Why do you have to say tzoin? Okay, so because I don't know why. Okay, but before we get to the metaphor, we have to first define the words. But here we're doing the sheep of the category of tzon, lavshu, they are dressed. That itself is a metaphor for the earth, right, when it comes, right? The amokim, the valleys, ya'atfu, they are enveloped with bor grain. Yis roi a'u af yoshiru, they shout and they sing. Mitsudo is dovet. Love shu chodematzon. Hakivosim shebetzoin. Yilbishu. So he's learning to refer his mamish, the sheep mamish, according to the Mitsudo of it. They will be dressed with fat, with basar. Okay, these are expressions. Vishumon bavur hamira hatoiv. There's an abundance of grain, which allows the sheep to get fat. Yadfu bar, the earth will be covered with grain. There's no place that is clear. There's so much grain. All of humanity, Yoriu will shout for joy. Simcha. So these two last three psukim, according to the parish of the Mitzvah David, is a continuation or a description of what it says in the previous pasuk, Tzimcha Tivarech. Your growth will be blessed. And now we're going to describe the blessing. Itarta Shinas Tovasecha. You have crowned the year of your goodness. The year of your goodness means this period of time with an abundance. Umagolecha Yarafun Deshen. And the clouds are flowing with fat. What is the fat? Rain. It's flowing with Gishmei Bracha, the Deshen, in Pasuk Yud Beis, according to the Mitzvah David, the Deshen means fat. Fat can mean many things. It's an expression of blessing. And here it means the clouds are producing Gishmei Bracha, and the year has been crowned as a year of goodness, and the clouds are flowing with Gishmei Bracha. Yirafu Ne'ois Midbar, the territory that thus far has been dry like a desert is now flowing with blessing. It's flowing. The Gil Givois Tachgarna, and the hills are girded. Tachgarna means a belt. You take a belt and you wrap it around your body. It is girded with joy. Love Shuchodim Atzoin. The sheep of the Tzon are fat. They've eaten from this delicious grain so much. They've gained so much weight. The doctor says, your cholesterol is so high, the only thing we can do for you is to slaughter you. We're going to send you to the slaughter because this is not sustainable, this lifestyle of being so fat. And v'amakim ya'atfu bar, the valleys are dressed with grain, yis, Ro'au af Yashiru, people are shouting for joy and they're even singing in the street. These are complex psukim. Okay? With a shir, af Yashiru. It begins with a shir and ends with a shir. Okay, so we have to still do some of the farshim before we go on to the next mizmar. We'll continue tomorrow. Take a short break and we'll talk more a little bit about Shavuos. We'll talk about some of the things that are under the domain of Rav Baruch Horowitz, the Gabbai in Yonim for Shavuos. Rav Baruch, what time do you daven Ma'ariv? What time do you daven Ma'ariv? The night of Shavuos. What?